We're so glad that we have this opportunity to be here in a sanctuary during this Advent season. I believe this is the first Sunday that we've been together in the Advent. And we've been studying on Wednesday nights, the ladies just coming up, what Advent means and the fact that it's a waiting for a coming of Christ. And waiting for the coming of the Christ as in the Savior that's going to be born in the manger. But ultimately, anytime we celebrate Christmas, it's inevitably pointing towards the cross. He didn't come in a manger just to do so. He came because you were worth leaving heaven, because he wanted to restore that relationship with you, to show you how much he loved you. Each individual person here, he loved you enough to leave heaven to come here to earth in the form of a baby, to live a life of 33 years so that he could go to that cross and give his life for you, so that he could bear every sin you ever committed, ever thought about committing, and every sin you will commit. He died for that, to own that, to free you. So this Christmas season, as we ponder the coming of Christ in that manger, remember his ultimate sacrifice was so that he could go to the cross, because he loved you enough. He thought you were worth saving. We're going to introduce a song this morning. I don't think we've ever sung it here. But as we sing, join in with us as you learn it. Stand if you want, worship as you want. Just soak it in and understand his great, great love for you. Merry Christmas.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. Thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. You cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. You sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. I am whole, and I will tell everyone. because I am whole, and I will tell everyone I know. So I can tell everyone.
Hallelujah.
I know.
You thought I was worth keeping.
Aren't you glad? He thought you were worth keeping. Come on, let's praise Him this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us.
So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift up praise to Him. Thank you, Jesus. You thought I was worth saving. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that God loves you that much? You thought I was worth saving. Sing it.
You came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. You cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for.
So you sacrificed your life.
You sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole.
One more time. Sing it.
You thought I was worth saving.
Thank you, Jesus.
You came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping.
Thought I was worth it. Thank you, Jesus.
You cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know.
you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Thank you, praise team, for leading us into the presence of the Lord. If you would please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse number 25. Thank you for being in God's house. Good to see you here to worship the Lord. Before I read the text, I want you to help me pray for Sister Del Melton. She is very sick and needs a touch from the Lord. Talked to her several times this week, and she was so hoarse I could barely make out what she was saying. She needs a touch from the Lord. Has that upper respiratory stuff. A lot of that stuff's going around right now. And while I'm on that, I encourage everybody, just because you come to church doesn't keep you immune from getting germs. I don't know, like we think the Spirit of the Lord is going to kick in and all the germs are going to leave or something, but that's why we put this antibacterial stuff at each entryway. So if you could use it as you come in and as you leave, I think it would cut down on a lot of germs during this flu and cold season, right? So just want to remind you that it's there, and I want you to encourage you to use it. But let's begin reading at Luke chapter 2, verse number 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Everybody say fall and rising. And for a sign which will be spoken against, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Will you stretch your hand toward me and pray with me today, and I'll pray for you as well. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come. We come hungry. We come eager for your word. We pray that your word would go forth in great power and great anointing. You said your word would not return void, and it would accomplish that which you send it to accomplish. Your word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray that your word, Lord, will bring forth whatever it needs to bring in each and every heart and life in the name of the Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, breathe upon us. It is your anointing that makes all the difference. Father, we lift up our sister Del Melton today in prayer. We ask that you touch her and minister to her body. We come against that sickness in the name of Jesus. Heal her, Father, as we pray. And any other person, Lord, in the church, Lord, who is struggling with physical problems, I just pray that the power of God would minister to them right now. Bring healing. Maybe there's people here that don't feel well today, but they came anyway. I pray that the Spirit of God would just supernaturally touch them. By your stripes we are healed. Breathe upon this service. May your will be done and may your glory be revealed. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I've titled this message today, Don't Miss Jesus This Christmas. Don't miss Jesus this Christmas. My wife already alluded to the fact that today marks the beginning of this Advent season. Advent is defined as the period of four Sundays before Christmas, observed in commemoration of Christ coming into the world. And as we enter this Advent season and anticipate Christmas, I have found myself reflecting once again on the potential tragedy of going through this season without truly connecting with and focusing on the Christ of Christmas. I mean, it really concerns me. I don't know about you, but it concerns me to think that there is a grave danger of missing Jesus Christ this Christmas when Christmas is supposed to be all about Him anyway. And missing Jesus during Christmas makes me think of that scripture in Luke chapter 19 and 42 when Jesus makes reference to the people not knowing the time of their visitation. They did not know the things that would make for their peace. I mean, Jesus, God in the flesh, was right there with them, walking among them, there to save them, there to heal them, and bring everything their hearts long for. But they had blinders on, and they couldn't see. They couldn't recognize that He was right there in their midst. And I pray that we would recognize that Jesus is right here in our midst today. How many of you know that Jesus is right here in our midst? Where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in the very midst of them. And sometimes I wonder if people recognize that Jesus is in our midst. I mean, when I start thinking about what He's done for me and where He's brought me from and what He's done in my life, I just can't help but to begin to praise and thank Him. And sometimes I know it's not all in the outward demonstrations. I know you can't always judge if somebody's worshiping the Lord on outward expressions. I understand that, but I'm going to tell you something today. If you truly think about and reflect on what Jesus has done for you, there's going to be some kind of response. It might be a tear coming down. It might be a hand going up. It might be a thank you, Jesus. But you can't just sit there when you think about what God has done for you. If you're truly born again and been washed in the blood of Jesus and know that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and know that if the trumpet were to sound right this very moment that you're going to leave this place, it ought to make you shout glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You see, the theme of Emmanuel is just ringing in my spirit today. Because He said, the Bible says in Isaiah 7 and 14, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call His name Emmanuel, or Jesus, God with us. The fulfillment of that prophecy is found in Matthew 1 and 23. As the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and you shall call His name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Do you truly believe that God is with us today? He's with you. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. Anybody know what the Word was? In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And that word comprehend literally means to overtake. How many of you know that the darkness cannot overtake the light? And in verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh. This is where we get the word incarnation from. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we know that He's with us in a general way, because one of His attributes is His omnipresence, meaning He is everywhere at the same time. We know that God is with us in a general way because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We know that He's with us in a general way because according to 2 Peter 3 and 9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God wants to be with us in a personal way. John 1 and 12 says, but as many as received Him, To them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name. I'm here to tell you today, it's not just about your initial receiving him, of saying the sinner's prayer and being born again. It's about receiving him on a regular basis as well. Today is a new day for me to receive him. God, I receive you into my life. Jesus, I receive you into my spirit. Jesus, I receive you to be the Lord of my life. Hallelujah. Thank you for making me a child of God. And as we receive him, we become more and more aware of his presence. You know, you have to practice that on a regular. Lord, I receive you into my heart. I receive you into my spirit. I receive you into my life. I don't want to miss Jesus this Christmas season. In the Gospel of Luke, we come across a man that illustrates this focus of receiving Christ, of not wanting to miss Christ, who was waiting with expectation, eager anticipation. He doesn't appear in any nativity scenes or many Christmas cards, but he is a significant player in the Christmas story. He's anticipating something. Actually, he's anticipating someone. Luke uses a Greek word for waiting here. That literally means to be alert to his appearance and ready to welcome him. To be alert to his appearance and ready to welcome him. Let me ask you right here, are you welcoming Jesus into your life this season, or is Jesus just a side note or an add-on? Instead of being an add-on, he should be the central focus in your life, and everything else should revolve around him. And that doesn't just go for the Christmas season. How many of you know that Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. It should be Jesus first, and everything else comes next. Everything else falls into line. It's time to put our priorities where they need to be. Jesus, you are the reason for the season. Let's take a closer look here in verse 25. It says, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. You see, things were not going well for the nation of Israel. They had not heard from God for many years. And they were under the oppression of the Roman rule. They had lost their political independence. And they were living under the tyranny of cruel King Herod. And many were wondering if the Messiah would ever come. Perhaps this is one of the reasons that Simeon focused upon the comfort that the Messiah would bring. And verse 26 shows good reason for his hope. Because the Bible says, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a promise that is. How many of you know that even in the midst of extreme difficulty, the Lord can bring a word of hope and consolation to you? And that word of hope can elevate your spirit and keep you going. His hope keeps you anticipating that which is to come, that deliverance, that breakthrough, that better day. You see, if you've got hope, you've got something. Hallelujah. He's the God of all hope. And Romans 15 and 13 says, now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I would say that Simeon had a pretty good reason for waiting, wouldn't you? What if I were to tell you that Jesus Christ does not want you to go through this Christmas season without having a fresh encounter with him? When's the last time you just spent time relishing and basking in the presence of the Lord? Would you believe it? Would you look for a fresh experience with the Lord? Would you allow him to fill your life with his peace and his presence and his power? Because there's so many that are searching for peace in our world today. They're searching, even people in church, they're searching for peace. And they're looking to everything else except the presence of the Lord. When it's in the, that's why the enemy fights so hard to keep you out of God's presence. Because he knows if you ever get in God's presence, that's where you'll be whole. If you ever get in God's presence, you won't be worrying about all those things that are bogging you down. If you ever get in the presence of the Lord, oh, hallelujah, you won't be worried about that coworker that seems to be nagging at you all the time, and you won't worry about that relationship problem that seems to be just hanging over your head, because then you'll see how big God is in the presence of the Lord and not how big your problems are. I'm telling you, it's in the presence of the Lord where we find life and find strength and find power. In His presence there is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. In His presence. In His presence. How, you see, Satan is working endlessly to blind us to what is really important. And if we're not careful, we'll be tricked into looking for everything else, but not looking for that fresh experience in Jesus Christ. You see, during this Christmas season, there are some that are only looking for another party. They're only looking for another gift. They're only looking for some time off work. They're only looking forward to watching their favorite sports teams and their favorite TV programs. Some are just looking for another drink. Can I just tell it like it is today? They think that's what's going to bring them fulfillment. When they participate in those things, what they find out is they're just as empty as they were before, if not more empty. I'm here to tell you today, there's nobody that can do you like Jesus. There's nobody that can fulfill you like Him. It's Jesus Christ. He's the reason for the season. He's the one that I long for. He's the one that I want to be with today. Brother Joe mentioned it at the very beginning of the service. People get all excited about their sports teams. Hey, I like sports too. I'm a big sports guy. But I'm telling you something, there's nothing like Jesus Christ. I don't know what it is that you think is going to fulfill you, that what you're after, what you're looking for. But Simeon was looking for the Christ. He was looking for the one who could fulfill him. Hallelujah. Just because you gather around a Christmas tree in open presence doesn't mean you truly celebrated Christmas. I heard about 3 or 4 amens. I submit to you that you have not truly celebrated Christmas until you bow your heart and your life before the Lord Jesus Christ in submission and reverence and worship. If you're looking to other things outside of Christ, your effort will be futile and your celebration of Christmas will be unfulfilled. You cannot have Christmas without Christ. Let me say it one more time. You can't have Christmas without Christ. Oh, you might celebrate a holiday, but you will not celebrate Christmas until Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. He's the focus of your worship. He's the focus of your attention. It's time to put Jesus back as the Lord of our hearts, especially this time of year. And say, Jesus, you're the reason I'm alive. The Holy Spirit prompted Simeon to go to the temple. Courts at just the right time, just the right day, that Joseph and Mary were bringing Jesus into the temple. And when Simeon looked at the baby Jesus, now about 6 weeks old, he knew that God's promise had been kept. Here was Emmanuel, God with us, to make things right, to provide significance by His presence, to eliminate fear and rejection and loneliness, most of all, to save people from their sins and bring them eternal life. Can you just imagine this scene with me for a moment as Simeon reaches down to pick up this child? Oh, hallelujah. He took Jesus out of Mary's arms and began to praise God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before all the face of the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, if you will seek for Jesus, if you will long for Jesus, if you will yearn for Jesus, you will find him. He said, if you will seek me, you will find me when you have searched for me with all of your heart. He said in Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. It's time we seek him again like we've never sought him before. It's time to go after Jesus. Hallelujah. When Jesus came, he provided the very things that Simeon was longing for. God's comfort and his redemption from sin. I want to leave you with just one thought here today as I begin to bring this to a close and as we pray. This is an important step in keeping Jesus first this Christmas. Verse number 27, look at it with me. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. One translation says, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Moved by the Simeon was a mover. That's what I want to leave with you. You got to be a mover. When the Holy Spirit prompted him to move, he didn't sit still. He did what the Lord told him. I wonder what would have happened if he had not responded to the Spirit's prompting. Actually, every one of the Christmas characters responded to the Spirit's leading, with the exception of Herod. Mary was ready to move when she said to the angel, "Let it be to me according to your word," as the angel delivered that message to her. Joseph demonstrated that he was a mover when he woke up from the dream, and he did what the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife, even though it would bring lots of ridicule that he was marrying someone who was already with child. You can imagine such criticism and ridicule they had to endure. He was a mover. He was willing to obey God even if it didn't sit right with other people. I'm here to tell you today, you've got to get to the place where you're willing to obey God even if everybody else ain't pleased, and even if everybody else is upset. You've got to do what God calls you to do. The shepherds were movers as well when they said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened. The wise men saw the star. They rejoiced with great joy and moved out of their comfort zone to find the King of Christmas. You've got to do whatever you've got to do. You might have to say no to some things. You might have to say, you know what, I'm going to get up at a certain time. I'm going to spend some time with the King of Christmas. I'm going to spend some time in his presence. I'm going to read the Christmas story, and I'm going to have a fresh experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to let another year go by. I'm not going to miss Jesus. I'm not going to let my family miss Jesus. I'm not going to let my children miss Jesus. I'm not going to let myself miss Jesus. I'm going to focus on him this Christmas. When God prompts you to do something, you need to do it. Because it might mean salvation for some of you. It might mean someone else in your circle of influence coming to know Christ. Let me say that again. It might mean someone in your circle of influence coming to know Christ because you're willing to be a mover with the Spirit. I believe God is calling this church to a deeper level of obedience to what his word says, first and foremost, in fulfilling the Great Commission. You heard me say it. You heard me preach about it last week, and you're going to hear more about it, because God is trying to move us out of our comfort zones into the world to preach the gospel into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you today, my heart is for the harvest. My heart is to be a mover. And I told you this last week, and I want to leave it with you again. If your salvation has not motivated you for service in God's kingdom, you better go back and check your salvation. Did you get that? Because God didn't call you just to say you were saved and wait on heaven to show up. No, He called you to serve. He called you to be a witness. He called you to be a mover for Him. Hallelujah. Don't procrastinate. When God prompts you to do something, you may miss out on a miracle this Christmas. I'm struck by what Simeon told Mary in verse 34. It must have taken her breath away. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising, say that with me, falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against. That's not a real joyful Christmas greeting, is it? Simeon is not saying Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Rather, he pauses, clears his throat, and tells her that Christmas will never be merry and the new year will never be happy until people get moving and surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. Here's the truth. Christmas splits people into two categories. There's a lot of people that hate Christmas. They hate the word Christmas. They like the holiday. But they hate the word Christmas because of those first few letters there, C-H-R-I-S-T, they hate Christ. By the way, don't you be ashamed to say Merry Christmas when you're out in public. If they say Happy Holidays, you answer them with Merry Christmas to you too. Since Jesus has entered the world, He has divided the human race. Jesus will cause the falling and rising of many. But because of who Jesus is and what He came to do, He forces people to make a decision about Him. And the Bible gives us the striking imagery. Jesus is either a rock that you will build your life on, or He's a rock that you'll stumble over. Let me say that again. Jesus is either a rock that you'll build your life on, or He's a rock that you'll stumble over. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to be the rock that I'm building my life on, not stumbling over. He's the rock on which I want to build my life. 1 Peter 2 and 6 says, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him. Anybody know who I'm talking about? We're talking about Jesus. He said, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious. In other words, those of you who are building your life on Him, He is precious. But to those, He said, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Yes, He is my chief cornerstone, but I'm not going to stumble over that stone. This chief cornerstone is going to be the one on which I build my life, because there is no other ground you can build your life on that's going to stay stable. Hallelujah. On Christ, a solid rock I stand. All other ground is seeking sand. I'm here to tell you today, it's time to get our lives back on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, upon His word, upon His teachings, upon what He's called us to do. On the very last thing He said before He left this earth, He said, go into all the world. It's time for the church to be movers again with God. Hallelujah. To be movers again. He didn't call us to be stagnant. He didn't call us just to be sponges. where we just soak everything up for ourselves. No, I believe God's wanting to wring us out for His glory, broken and spilled out. I remember that song Brother Dwayne used to sing. Broken and spilled out, all for you, Jesus. I don't want to miss Him this Christmas season. And I don't want to miss Him in 2018. I don't want to miss Him in 2019. If the Lord allows me to live that long, I don't want to miss Him tomorrow. I don't want to miss Him next week. I don't want to miss what God is calling me to do. I've been feeling this in my spirit here lately more than ever before. Now is the time. Now is the time to step out in faith. It's time to step out and watch me work, watch me move. I'm getting ready to do some things in your life and through this church you haven't seen before. So you've got to get some people on your team. Anybody willing to be on my team? Anybody willing to go with me? Anybody willing to say, yes, I'll go out into the community. I'll go out into the highways and the hedges. I'll be an instrument that God can use. If you're not physically able to go, and you pray for those who are, because your prayers is just as important as those who are going out. Hallelujah. Those who sow and those who water and those who reap are all just as important in the eyes of God. We've all got a calling. We've all got a spiritual gift. That's what Brother Raven is teaching about in Sunday school. Every single one of us have got a spiritual gift. We've got to figure out what it is, and we've got to start using it for the glory of God. It's time to be a mover. How many of you are ready to move with the Spirit? Please stand if you're ready to move with the Spirit.